I just wanted to say that I'm singing this song about the American flag today because it's the 4th of July. We don't worship the flag, though. We honor the flag and we honor our country, but in God we trust. And over in this corner is the Christian flag, which honors God, the God that we worship. And it also has the same three colors in it. If you notice, this is about the red, white, and blue. So I just thought I would point those things out to you, if you didn't mind. Happy 4th of July. Proudly it waves, oh glory, over the land of the free. Promise of hope and freedom, symbol of liberty. Red, white, and blue are its colors, colors both brilliant and clear. Colors that far deeper meaning than that at first may appear. Red is for blood of patriots who have died to free us. White is for justice and government of love. Blue is for honor and faith in all we do. This is my flag. This is Old Glory. The red, white, and blue. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Red is for blood of patriots who have died to free us. White is for justice and government of love. Blue is for honor and faith in all we do. This is my flag. This is Old Glory. Red, white, and blue. Long may it wave. Long may it wave.
Thank you, Tom. Long may it wave. I really love the message of the song here today. Well, happy 4th of July. It's good to live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And before I read the gospel message, I just share a personal point of interest. It was this day in 1975 that I looked at that girl over there and I realized that I was deeply in love and that she would be my wife. She didn't know it yet, but we were at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Dottie and I both worked for the Catholic University of America, the School of Music. And many of our faculty in the school were members and, you know, professional musicians with the National Symphony Orchestra. And they had, for a time, leading up to that period, it was the beginning of the bicentennial year, 1975. And they had invited Mstislav Rostropovich to be the guest conductor, a Russian. And he actually defected and became their musical director for many years. In fact, I think he's still there now. But he was amazing with that NSO. And we were at that Kennedy Center. And my eyes, like Paul's eyes, when the scales left his eyes and he realized he had new eyes of faith and he understood who Jesus Christ was, the scales fell from my eyes and I saw Dottie in a way. We were friends and we were co-workers, but I knew right then that day that she would be my wife. And I'm glad that that happened. And all the things that we have gone through together. Dottie, I love you, and I just want you to know that. So, happy 4th of July. During the intermission, and they did a wonderful concert that day, but during the intermission, we were out on the patio overlooking the Potomac, and the fireworks were coming up. Do you remember that, Dot? And 4th of July has always been a very special day to me, and I want to wish you all happy 4th of July as well. Would you please stand with us for the hearing and the reading of our gospel message this morning? Our gospel message comes from Mark's gospel, the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 13. Hear these words. Jesus left there and went to his hometown, accompanied by his disciples. And when the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. Where did this man get these things? They asked. What's this wisdom that has been given him? What are those remarkable miracles he's performing? Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us? And they took offense at him. And Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed at their lack of faith. Then Jesus went around teaching from village to village, calling the 12 to him. He began to send them out two by two, and gave them the authority over impure spirits. These were his instructions. Take nothing for the journey except a staff. No bread, no bag, no money in your belts. Wear sandals, but not an extra shirt. And whenever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that town. And if any place will not welcome you or listen to you, leave that place and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. They went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them. And so ends this, the reading of his holy word, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I invite you to be seated. And I invite you to pray along with me, please. God of grace and God of glory, God of freedom and independence, you give us freedom to accept you or not. You don't make us accept you, but you give us grace that's available to us, that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And so, Lord, we thank you for those that have faith and have accepted that faith for their own selves and are healed by your word. We thank you for the gift of your holy word, for your word brings life. Your word is love, and your word informs us and transforms us into the people that you created us to be. So by the power and the presence of your Holy Spirit, empty us of ourselves and fill us with the power and the presence of your Spirit that we may have hearts to hear, ears to hear, minds that are open so that we might understand what you are saying to us in these your words of life. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts together be acceptable in your sight. For this in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen. Well, in this particular gospel message, Mark's gospel, Mark is concise. He gets to the point on things. And he talks about Jesus going to his hometown. He doesn't say that it's Nazareth, but that's where Jesus is. We know that from other gospel messages. Excuse me, that Jesus went to Nazareth, where he was from, where his family was, where he was raised, where his brothers and his sisters were there, where Mary, his mother, was in the community. They knew who they were. And his father was the carpenter, and he also learned carpentry himself. So he was called the carpenter. And yet they were amazed at his teaching. Where did he get this authority? Where did he get this stuff? All the wonderful things that he has said and the miracles that he's doing. And yet they began to look at Jesus like just a regular guy. Hey, we grew up with this guy. We know who he is. And as I was reading this week, it reminded me, well, and also because we're going through a lot of stuff, Dottie and I. We're going through some old files and we're shredding some stuff because we're moving and we don't want to take the world with us. In fact, we're listening to this scripture today. All we really need, Dottie, is a staff, right? But we have a lot more than the staff that we're packing up. And some of the things that we have gone through, there was a file in my office, and Dottie opened it up, and there's a letter from a friend of ours that we actually introduced her and gave her a Bible and introduced her to Christ's love and his grace, and she was saved by that. And that was in that file. And then another person that was in that file was someone that you've probably heard of before, Christina Aguilera. Now, I have said this in this place before, but maybe you weren't here that day, but when Christina Aguilera lived in Wexford, in Bradford Woods, where Dottie and I lived and our daughter lived there, she was a neighbor of ours, right around the corner. She went to the sixth grade at Marshall Middle School, and my daughter went there as well. Actually, she was in the fifth grade, and my daughter, Kelly, was in the sixth. And there was a thing going around where people were looking at abducting young girls at bus stops. And there was a fear of that happening. So I told my daughter, Kelly, from now on, I'm driving you to school in the morning, and you can take the bus home. But in the morning, you're not standing out there in the dark, and you're not waiting for a bus, I'm driving you to school. Well, she said, Dad, we have a new girl that just came in, and she lives around the corner from us. Her name is Christina Aguilera. Can we take her to school too? I said, we'll take whoever wants to come with us, and we'll go to school. And so we did. And the first time I remember pulling up into Christina's driveway, and before that, my daughter Kelly told me, Dad, and this girl's a singer. She's in the fifth grade. She's a singer? And I said, what do you mean she's a singer? Well, she sings for the Pirates. She sings for the Penguins. She sings for the Steelers. She sings the national anthem. She'll sing God Bless America. They invite her all the time in the fifth grade. I thought, wow, that's something. But, you know, I'm not all impressed or anything like that. And I pull into her driveway. And at that time, I was driving the big white Lincoln Continental. Remember that, Dottie, with the leather seats? And anyway, we opened the back door, and she popped in, this little mite of a girl, little sweet, slender, very small girl with a huge voice. And she got in the car, and she said, well, hello, Mr. Felici. And her voice just filled that chamber in such a way that I turned around and I said, well, good morning, Christine. I said, you have a wonderful voice. You should be a singer. To which my daughter Kelly's given me this elbow in my side because she had told me that she was so embarrassed by me. See, that's my job. But Christina, you know, was a singer. She goes, well, I do sing. And, you know, and so we got to know her and we're driving her to school every day. And then after a while, one Friday, when I picked her up, she got in the car and she said, Guess what, Mr. Felici? Guess where I'm going today after school? So I thought for a moment and I thought, Disney World. You're going to Disney World. She said, I am. I said, so you guys are going on vacation? She says, no, I'm going there for an audition. I said, an audition? Audition for what? The Mouseketeers. I said, there's no Mouseketeers. That was a long time ago. I love the Mouseketeers. I was in love with, sorry, Dottie, but I was in love with Annette Funicello. And I told that to Christina. She says, everyone says that to me. She must have been good. I said, she was. She was really good. She said, well, they're bringing it back, and I have an opportunity to go and audition for one of the cast. I said, well, how do you feel about that, Christina? And she says, I'm really nervous, because I would really like to get it. And I said, well, why are you nervous? You're a singer already. You and I both know. You already know what you're going to do for the rest of your life. You're going to be a vocal artist. You're going to be a singer, right? She says, that's exactly right. I said, you've sung on Star Search and almost won. You didn't win, but yeah, but you came in as a finalist. And you've sung for the Pirates and the Steelers. And I went down the list of all the different singing engagements. I said, you've sung before thousands of people. People your age don't have that kind of experience. And when you get down there, you're going to have a great opportunity. I know you're going to get one of the positions because there are multiple positions. I just know it. She says, you really think so? I said, I know so. I'm telling you right now, I know you're going to get it. And she said, oh, I hope so. And I said, there's only one fear I have. And she said, what's that? And I said, you're going to get that Mouseketeer job. You're going to get real famous. And then you're going to forget your first show. For. She goes, oh, Mr. Felici, I'll never forget you. She did. But I haven't forgotten her, and I pray for her, I do. And I've watched her success and all this other thing, but there's a story that goes along with that, kind of ties in today's gospel message. She was homeschooled when she was down with the Mouseketeers, and you know, right on the Disney property, they have their artists have school, but she was still also enrolled with North Allegheny. And one of her friends had arranged a date for her for one of the semi-formals when they were having the junior high school was having a semi-formal dance. And it's crazy because it was at the same time Dottie and I and the girls were on vacation and we were down in Pompano Beach. You know, do you remember the show, the sitcom, I Dream of Jeannie? Was situated in Pompano Beach because, you know, the major was with NASA. And they were there right by Kennedy's. So we're driving through Pompano Beach when on the radio comes this song, Genie in a Bottle. Remember that, Donnie? By the way, I wasn't impressed with Pompano Beach. But this song came on and Kelly said to me, Dad, that's Christina. I said, that's Christina? She goes, that's Christina. That's her song. It's a single that just came out. Shortly after that, Christina was going to North Allegheny for a formal dance. And she went to that dance and was having a good time with her friends, her girlfriends, and whoever her date was. And they were dancing. And then all of a sudden, the DJ played Genie in a Bottle. You might have thought they would have applauded or they would have looked at her like, wow, this is your song. No, that's not what they did. They all left the dance floor and left her out there just with her date. Can you imagine? That's what Jesus experienced when he's in Nazareth. He's there for this homecoming. He's ready to teach. He's preaching. He wants to heal people. And they are so closed-minded that all they can see is the carpenter. All they can see is Simon's son, Judas's son. All they can see is the brother of the sisters that were with them. Even though they acknowledge that he had done miraculous things and what wisdom and knowledge came out of him and what authority did he say these things with. And Jesus was amazed at their closed-mindedness and their lack of faith. Now, you hear me say all the time, when I talk about healing and health and wholeness, And you see this in the Bible from the beginning in Genesis all the way to Revelation. And it's restated and restated and restated, and that's why it say it so much. Jesus doesn't say, I healed you. Jesus says what? You know the words. Say that louder. Your faith has made you whole. See, Jesus can give and give and give and give, but he needs us to respond in faithfulness. We saw that last week with the woman that just wanted to touch the hem of his garment. It didn't say in the Bible, if you just touch Jesus' hem, you're going to be healed. No, she thought to herself, if I could just do this, that's what's going to happen for me, and that's exactly what happened for her. But because these people were so closed-minded, healing couldn't happen. Not because Jesus couldn't heal, because they wouldn't receive the gift. They wouldn't take the gift that was being freely given. They wouldn't accept it. And so the healing that was there for them didn't happen, not because Jesus couldn't, but they didn't accept it. Other scripture says they took him to the edge of the hill and they wanted to kill him, but he slipped through. But Jesus takes that moment and he goes from there and he's doing what he said to his disciples in his sending of them out two by two. If you're not received, what? Shake the dust off your feet. Don't waste your time. If someone's going to be closed-minded, if someone's not going to listen, if someone's not going to receive grace, by the way, grace means free. It means it's there for the taking. And if they don't want to take it, don't waste your time trying to beat it into them. They're just not going to take it. Spend your time with people that will receive it. And that's what Jesus is telling his disciples. Look at, we're going to go from here. And they went to other places and they were effective. And Jesus was healing and he was healing and he was healing because people were receiving the gift of grace. And then he says to his disciples, now I'm going to send you out. This is training 101 for discipleship. I'm going to send you out, and because I don't want you to think you need anything more than yourself, I don't want you to take money. I don't want you to take food. I don't want you to take even an extra shirt. Wear your sandals, wear the clothes that you have, and your staff, which is kind of like your authority. Wear that and go out and be faithful two by two. And if you go to a place and they receive you, stay there. Don't look for something better. Don't look for a nicer house. Don't look for better food. You just stay there and use that as a base of operation. If they don't receive you, what do? Shake the dust off. Don't waste your time. There's too many other people that are willing to receive. Don't waste your time. Move on. Other gospel messages say, shake the dust off your feet, but tell them, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is available. The kingdom of God is still here. Even though you refused it, you can receive it at any time as long as you're alive. The kingdom of God is available to you. Please take it. But he says to his disciples, don't waste your time with people that don't hear. Jesus would say to the crowds all the time, those that have ears, let them hear. In other words, those that want to receive grace, take it. It's yours for the taking. It's free. Now, Jesus sends every one of us, every single one of us, not just pastors, okay? Every one of you sitting here, if you're a believer, you're an agent of grace for God. In your work, in your play, with your families, with your friends. Everything you do, okay, should be reflective of the God that lives in you. Now, we have something that the early disciples didn't have. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit. I say early disciples because later on we see in Acts, they did receive the Holy Spirit and what power came from them after that. But we have the gift of the Holy Spirit at our baptism. We have the gift of the Holy Spirit now. A lot of times we don't use the Holy Spirit's power in us. We act as like we don't have this gift, but we have it. And when you start to exercise it, as Beth said in her prayer, we have all kinds of gifts. We have gifts to teach. If you have a gift to teach, teach. If you have a gift to pray, pray. If you have a gift to sing, sing. If you have a gift of creativity, like Tom, where's Tom? There he is. Use it. God gifts us for the building up of the body of Christ. And so all these gifts are not so that we can make money, not so we can live in nice houses, not so we can drive good cars or great cars. It's so that we can be effective witnesses to the grace that's available to the world, to the world. He wants us to use it. He doesn't want us to waste our time, but he wants us to go in integrity and in vitality with the stick, his authority. He gives us the authority. And when we use it, we will see God happen every time we faithfully and boldly proclaim his holy name and his gift of grace. We have power to change lives. We have power to change lives, and therefore we can change the world one life at a time. Build up the body. Jesus sends us so that we might be effective witnesses. Whatever we do, use all your gifts, use them all the time, and praise God with it. Let us go to God in prayer. God of grace, God of glory, God who calls us and sends us out into the world. You send every one of us, Lord, that call you Christ, that call you Lord and God. You grant every one of us certain gifts to be used. Help us to use those gifts to bring you praise and glory and honor, and so that others might come into the wake, into the train of your grace, that they may be swept along into your kingdom, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Allow us, Lord, to have a discernment to when people aren't hearing about your grace, not to just beat them up, but to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is still available, and then go to greener ground. Allow us to be agents of grace on the ground every day of our lives, that we might bring praise and glory and honor to you, and that the kingdom of heaven would be here on earth, even as it is in heaven. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray these things. Amen.